Deuteronomy 31, verse 7, Moses called unto Joshua and said unto him in the sight of all Israel, Be strong and of a good courage, for thou must go with this people unto the land which the Lord hath sworn unto their fathers to give to them, and thou shalt cause them to inherit it. And the Lord, he it is that doth go before thee. He will be with thee. He will not fail thee, neither forsake thee. Fear not, neither be dismayed. Moses has come to the end. He's realized that he's no longer going to be God's man. He's no longer going to be the one to lead him. He even talks back in verse 1 and 2 of the same chapter. He says unto him, says, I'm 120 years old this day. I can no more go out and come in. Also the Lord has said to me, Thou shalt not go over this Jordan. He had fought a lot of battles for the Lord, Moses had faced a lot of trials, faced a lot of tough situations, faced a lot of things that many of us wouldn't want to have to face, wouldn't want to be in Moses' shoes for anything in the world. I mean, when he was telling God way at the beginning, I can't do it, I can't talk well, I'm not the one you want to lead these people out, I didn't fault him at all, because it was going to be a rough road to hoe, as they say. And he faced it, did what God wanted him to do, but this one Jordan, God told him he wasn't going to cross over. And he said it was time to pass that baton on to someone else. It was time to turn around and hand it to someone that could. It was time to turn around and give it to Joshua. And Joshua was there, the young man, the son of Nun, and he was ready. Can you say amen? Ready to take it and ready to run with it. Sometimes people turn around and get something handed to them and they don't quite know what to do with it. I mean, sometimes we'll get something handed to us and we'll just have to look at it kind of funny. We're not sure if we're to go this way with it or if we're to go that way with it. But I mean, when it got in Joshua's hands, he was more than ready, more than willing, more than able to run with it. And run he did. I mean, you take off in the book of Joshua and he's just defeating them left and right. Going over the Jordan, the parted for him, there he went, God miraculously making a way. And he knew what to do with it when he got it in his hand. And that's the way we need to be. He had all the victories that you can count. He did have a defeat. I think it's about the seventh or eighth chapter of Joshua. He ran into Ai, trying to defeat him at Ai. And you know the story. He fell down on his face before God, crying out. I mean, he sent the spies out just like he had once been. And he sent them out and he said, you go check them out and come back and tell us what you think. And they come back and said, we don't even need to send everybody up there. Just give us, I don't know what it said, maybe 2,000 or 3,000, I forget. Just give us just a few. We'll go up there and take care of them because they're not even very many. And they went up there and just turned their backs and had to flee from them because there was sin in the camp. So he had a defeat there. He got on his face before God and was crying out and wanted to know what happened. And God told him to get up. So I'll tell you exactly what it was. You go get the sin out of the camp. So he went and told him, pulled him aside, got a hold of Achan and his family. He said, you've troubled the Lord. And the Lord's going to trouble you this day. So he knew when he had that baton in his hand, he knew how to win the battle. And when that one defeat came his way, he knew how to get through it and get over that hurdle and get around that obstacle, take care of what needed to be taken care of. And I mean, it wasn't no time before he was back on the winning track. And you can go all the way over to verse 11. And in verse 11, at the very end of the chapter, he's talking and they're all done. He even takes care of their mannequins. I mean, gets rid of the big guys and gets them out of there, destroyed their cities. And there was none of them left in the land of the children of Israel. And verse 23 says, So Joshua took the whole land according to all that the Lord said unto Moses. And Joshua gave it for an inheritance unto Israel according to their divisions by their tribes, and the land rested from war. I mean, he got the job done. What Moses had started and where Moses was taking him, Joshua finished the journey. And Joshua got the job done and got exactly what the Lord wanted accomplished and was able to stand there and see it done. And as Moses was only able to look by faith, but Joshua was able to stand there and see it accomplished because he stayed true to God. But then here we talk about this nation of Israel and these children of the Hebrew children. And once again, when Moses, I didn't read it, but when Moses was coming to the end, he was even worried about them. And he said, "You wait and see." He said, "I'll just barely be out of your sight. I'll just be dead just in no time at all. And you guys are going to start turning your backs toward on God and going towards another God." And even Joshua was worried about him when he came to his end. In the 24th chapter, and it's another familiar scripture, says, "Now therefore, 14, fear the Lord, serve him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites, in whose land ye dwell, but as for me and my house." He was standing up to make himself as the example, worried about the children of Israel, just like Moses was. And he said, I'm going to be the one to lead out and let you know exactly what should happen here. And he says, "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." And verse 16, the people answered. Man, that stirred them up. "God forbid that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. For the Lord our God, He it is that brought us up and our fathers out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage, and which did those great signs in our sight, and preserved us in all the way wherein we went, and among all the people through whom we passed." I mean, they're just bragging on the Lord. These same people that got so sick of that manna, these same people that got so sick of that quail, when they were going through it, they weren't talking this kind of talk, but here, Joshua's got them stirred up. A little bit of revival came their way, and they're standing up and getting a little bit of brave, and they're saying, "Why don't you worry, Joshua? Don't you even fret about it. I mean, God forbid that we would ever turn our back on the Lord. We're not going to do it." I mean, they're standing there and they're talking big now. They're telling him all this stuff, and Joshua looks at him, says, verse 20, says, "If you forsake the Lord and serve strange gods, then He will turn and do you hurt and consume you after that He has done you good." And the people said unto Joshua, "Nay, but we will serve the Lord." Joshua said unto the people, "Ye are witnesses against yourselves that ye have chosen the Lord to serve Him." And they say, "We are witnesses." 23, "Now therefore put away," said he, "the strange gods which are among you, and incline your heart unto the Lord God of Israel." And the people said unto Joshua, "The Lord our God we will serve, and His voice will we obey." I mean, they made the statement, they made the proclamation for everybody to hear. They said, "We've come through and we've seen what God's done, and this is it, Joshua. You don't have to worry about us anymore. You don't have to fret about us like Moses did. It's not going to happen. We're not going to be the ones that turns our back on you." And how many of us have been there? It seems like as we're around these altars, the victory of God that we feel so real in our lives, the power of God that we feel so strong, the anointing that sometimes you could just cut with a knife. I mean, you think God's in this place, and if you opened your eyes, you would surely see Him. I mean, that's how strong I felt the Spirit of God around here. And then Monday morning comes around, or maybe Monday evening, or Monday at midnight for me. And all of a sudden, the Satan comes with some of those storms, comes with some of those trials, comes with some of those things that will almost knock us out and just totally set us aside. Almost just to take us right off our feet after we just came out of the presence of the Lord. And here these people are, and they're standing up and they're saying, "Don't worry about us. We've made the commitment. We've made the choice. We just came out of the revival and we're all pumped up. We're ready to serve God, and we're going to be a witness unto ourselves that we told you this. Don't you worry about it. We're not going to have any problem. We're not going to have any trials come our way that we can't handle." But it only took them a couple of chapters. Go on over into Judges. Judges, the end of chapter 2, verse 20. "And the anger of the Lord," this is just a couple of chapters, "the anger of the Lord was hot against Israel. And He said, because that this people hath transgressed my covenant, which I commanded their fathers, and have not hearkened unto my voice, I also will not henceforth drive away any from before them of the nations which Joshua left when he died, that through them I may prove Israel, whether they will keep the way of the Lord to walk therein, as their fathers did keep it, or not. Therefore the Lord left those nations without driving them out hastily, neither delivered He them into the hand of Joshua." Verse 3, chapter 3, verse 1. "Now therefore these are the nations which the Lord left to prove Israel. By them even as many of Israel as had not known all the wars of Canaan, only that the generations of the children of Israel might know to teach them war. At the least, such as before knew nothing thereof. namely the five lords of the Philistines and all the Canaanites and the Sidonians and the Hivites that dwelt in Mount Lebanon from Baal Hermon unto the entering of Hamath. And they were there to prove Israel, to know whether they would hearken unto the commandments of the Lord, which he commanded their fathers by the hand of Moses. Sometimes we see those trials coming. Sometimes we don't. Sometimes they surprise us. Sometimes we knew they were there and we were walking right into them. But can I tell you tonight that some of them are there for a very good reason? And there's times that we might face some things that God has allowed us to face, that he might prove us and that he might take us through some fire, maybe. I mean, some scorching fire sometimes, Brother Randy, so that when we come out on the other side, we can say that we've been proven, and we can say that we know now what it is to stand for God when things aren't so well, and that we can say we know what it is to choose right when right wasn't the popular choice. Some of those trials that were for us and some of the things that God takes us through, he does for a reason, just like he left the nations here to face Israel. He said, I'm leaving them there. I'm not going to drive them out to prove you and to see what you do with them and to see just exactly how it is. And what he was saying was, I want some people to learn war that haven't known war before. I want some people that don't know what it is when the weapon comes in their hand. I want them to know how to use that weapon. And I want them to know how to fight like their fathers fought. I want them to know how to defend this nation like their fathers defended this nation. And when that great leader Joshua would take them out, now they're just hearing the stories about it. And I'm worried, he says, that I've got a generation of Israelites here that don't know how to make war. So I'm going to leave some people out there so that they can learn some real hard, bitter lessons. I've never been in battle. Never been in the service. Brother Randy Jones talks about being in the service. I've never been in the service. But even those in the service will tell you that there's a distinction between someone who served in peacetime and someone that served in combat. And there's a little bit of a difference. And when veterans get amongst each other, as I've heard them through my life, and begin to talk as they share different stories about this or that, I mean, there comes a certain amount of respect and a certain amount of honor, Brother Randy, when someone says that they were in combat, when someone says that they actually were to the place where if it had come their way, they could have very easily have lost their life. My grandfather was one that was there, one of the first reinforcements at the Battle of the Bulge. He'd been in straight combat for 8 or 9 months, if I remember him telling me correctly. But still had to go and fight some more because the Germans were pushing through and were almost ready to make a large breakthrough, and they had to send in some reinforcements, and they called these battle-weary soldiers that had already fought so long, and they were some that had to go right back in there to keep right on fighting. And there's something that comes with being in combat that I don't know about. There's something when it comes to this natural world. I haven't experienced it. It's an experience that those that come through it are glad that they can draw on, but I don't want to have to go through that. I mean, I'm very thankful that there are those that have fought and even died for other liberties that we have. And should it come my way, and if the cause was right and just, like those other wars have been, then I feel like I would, if it was the Lord's telling me to, I would do my part. But I don't want to have to. I don't want to have to. But God here tells the nation of Israel, there's some of you that don't even know how to make war. I'm leaving some people here. And I feel spiritually, and as I read this today and thought about this, I feel spiritually, we've got a whole generation of people that don't know how to make war. We've got a whole generation that come in and they enjoy the blessings of the Lord. And I am counting myself in among that generation. Can I say that? I'm not telling you that I've achieved anything. I'm not standing here telling you that look at my laurels and look at the letters behind my name. I don't have them there. I'm part of that generation. But I feel like we've got a whole group of people that don't know what it is when the weapons get in their hand. They're not sure how to use them. And they're not sure how to come against that enemy. And when they face some of the things that the elders have faced, when they face some of the things that their older relatives have faced, it's enough to knock them clean off their feet, and it's enough to completely knock and shake their foundation with the Lord, because they don't know how to make war, Brother Randy, and they haven't been in the trenches like those that have come before have been. I mean, the churches that we see all across the country, they didn't start by accident. They didn't come here because someone just had a whim or someone just had a fancy. But I mean, when you have churches that have stood like the highway has, I go back to that scripture that says this kind doesn't come about but by prayer and fasting. And I know when I come through the doors that there's some that have been here before me that knew how to fight. I know when I come through the doors that there were some that were here before me and I knew what it was to take up the banner and to fight that spiritual warfare. There were some that were here that knew exactly what it was to go to combat for the Lord and to fight that enemy, that flesh and that carnality that we face down here day after day. There were some here before I ever came around that knew how to fight it and knew how to stand. But I'm afraid we've got so many of us now that don't. I'm afraid that we've got so many of us now that enjoy the blessings and enjoy the things that have been given to them by that other generation, but don't have the appreciation for it that they should have. And should it ever come, they're not going to know how to fight. And they're not going to know how to get that weapon in their hand. I mean, this wasn't a happy story. It goes on in verse 5, says the Lord left them there to test them, to prove them. Verse 5 says, the children of Israel dwelt among the Canaanites, Hittites, Amorites, Perizzites, Hivites, and Jebusites. They took their daughters to be their wives and gave their daughters to their sons and served their gods. And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord and forgot the Lord their God and served Balaam and the groves. Is this the same bunch that said, Joshua, don't worry, don't you even have a fret about it? We're going to be witnesses, Joshua. We're going to stand here and tell you, we're going to stand firm. And we're going to stand here and tell you, Joshua, like I preached Wednesday night, we're going to stand with you. I mean, we're going to be here no matter what comes, no matter how high the water gets, no matter how bad the trial seems, no matter how large the enemy might be, Joshua, don't you worry, we're standing right here. These are the same people two chapters later, and their backs turned, and they forgot the Lord. Even marrying, giving their daughters to marriage, and serving the gods. Sir, I mean, it's one thing to dwell among them. It's one thing to dwell among them, but to start serving their gods. Verse 8, therefore the anger of the Lord was hot against Israel, and he sold them into the hand of Cushan, that's a big name there, Cushan, Rishathaim, or whoever. He was the king of Mesopotamia, and the children of Israel served him for 8 years. Why? Because they forgot what they witnessed to Joshua, and because when it come their time to stand in the gap, and to be a soldier, and they didn't have what it took to get the job done. And I feel spiritually, and me being a part of that, that I don't want that to come our way. I know we've had those that have come before us that have blazed a trail, that have done great and mighty things, but I don't think we have to have the same conclusion to our story as they did to theirs, Brother Andy. I don't think when those trials come our way and when the storms come that we might not understand so much. I don't think when they come beating on our door, we don't have to turn and run. And we don't have to say, I don't understand this. But, I mean, we could do just exactly what they did in days of old. Hit our knees in prayer and get down before God and say, if I don't have enough to face it, give me some more. If I don't have the kind of thing that made my mother, my father stand, then give me what I need to stand. If I don't have the kind of stuff that I've seen my grandfather have, then I'm going to stay here, God, until I get it. Because I want to be one that knows how to make war. And I want to be one that knows how to fight when the enemy comes my way. Because you don't have to doubt, he is coming. And God's even bring some of them there just so we'll learn how to fight. And when that weapon comes into my hand, whatever it may be, I want to know how to use it. If it's fasting, if it's prayer, whatever it is, God, give me what I need so that I can stand like they did in days of old and say, come on and bring whatever the devil has. It's not going to shake me. It's not going to make me quiver. It's not going to make my foundation crack because I'm on the solid rock and I'm willing to fight. And I'm willing to fight. Can you say amen? Willing to fight. That's all he wants. Now, there ain't nobody that went into combat learned how to do it before they ever got there. They did the best to train them, but it's just like parenthood. There ain't nothing that can teach you how to be a parent, and nothing that can teach you what you're going to do when combat comes your way. There's men that they'll tell you, I can't define what courage is. They came out of combat and done miraculous things, brave things, but they'll tell you, I wasn't a courageous man. You just do what you have to do to survive when you get into combat. And there ain't nobody going to tell you how to do it. Nobody's going to walk you step by step. All you've got to be, according to God, is just willing to fight. And that's what I want to be tonight. I mean, Lord, it doesn't matter. Willing to fight whatever the enemy is. Willing to fight however big he may seem. Willing to fight however strong he may seem. However numerous they may seem. I want to be willing to fight. That's the kind of why. That's the generation I'm a part of. And that's what I'm going to make my mindset. That's what I'm going to make my goal. No, I haven't fought some of the way some of these older men.